Welcome to the Choose Your Own Adventure podcast, a place to have authentic conversations about the things in life that really matter.
Your Own Adventure podcast. This is Wes Cothers, and with me, as always, is Tony Criz.
Hey.
So yeah, we've been gone for a while. Just life's been kind of crazy lately, and yeah, what's been going on with you, Tony?
Tons. Mostly prep for book release here in a couple months, and it's kind of the intense time of the school year over at Warner Pacific College. So I've been doing a lot of work there with students and then a few trips. So yeah. There's a lot happening.
Yeah. Same with me. Had sick children and, just life stuff. And then this weather's been, kind of nice. Out of season for the Northwest lately. Any power loss for you?
A little bit, just momentary, you know, where you have to reset all your clocks, but we haven't had hours without, which is nice.
Good. So I did get a copy of Aloof from you. About a month ago.
Nice.
Something like that. And normally I, am a very, like, I'll just devour a book. I'll read it very quickly. I just kind of inhale things like that, but I'm trying to not do that with you.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's been a difficult thing because I really want to just read the whole thing, but I'm trying to just digest slowly. So
great. How far into it are you?
I've only gotten 3 chapters.
Whoa, that is slow.
Yes. So, well, I probably would have been farther by now, but I wanted to kind of talk about some of them as possible adventures, so.
Oh,
yes.
Keys. Big keys, Wes Cothers.
All right. So adventure potential number 1 for today.
Okay.
We've got Islamophobia or atonement theory.
Well, I'm going to have to go with Islamophobia on those two. There, Alex Trebek.
All right. So, there's been some recent things that have happened. I saw something that you had posted on Facebook, which was related to what I was already thinking about talking about. I'm not sure if you heard the conversation, but recently there was a conversation on the Bill Maher show between Bill Maher, Sam Harris, and Ben Affleck. Did you hear about that?
Oh, I did hear about it, but I haven't seen the clip yet. I need to go back and see it. Somebody mentioned it to me.
Yeah, so I don't know. I know you're familiar with Sam Harris. I don't know how familiar you are with Bill Maher.
Well, hard not to be. He's a real friend of religion.
Yes. Him and Sam Harris both.
Yes.
So they have, you know, very particular views on religion, and particularly on Islam. And Ben Affleck was on the show, and they were having this conversation about Islam. And clearly we're coming from very different places. And it received quite a bit of controversy, and he did a bunch of interviews on it, and so on and so forth. And then I saw the conversation on your Facebook between Reza Aslan and one of the news channels, I believe, CNN or something.
Yeah.
And Aslan has been on Bill Maher before as well, and it's just an interesting conversation, and I think it's one that is important, and I saw quite a bit of traffic on your Facebook page about it as well. And I just think there's a lot of, what's that?
obviously, yeah, people really responded to that posting. Like, well, I didn't have opinions about it. And it's amazing how many people wanted to discredit the one gentleman who's trying to, he was just trying to give his perspective on Islam as, and people didn't like that. And then other people wanted to support him. It's just interesting. It is, it's very surprising. Everybody needs, I think people feel the need to have an extreme position one way or the other.
Right. And I think Islam is something that is, you know, largely just nobody really knows much about it in America.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those topics. And yet there's these beliefs about it. And with 9/11 and, you know, there's kind of these periphery things that, that people just don't really understand. And then you get people like Bill Maher and Sam Harris with very strong views, kind of talking about what they're saying. And then Ben Affleck and others kind of coming from a different perspective. And at least what I noticed in the conversation, and yeah, you'll have to watch it yourself, but it seemed like people were kind of talking past each other.
Oh, you know? Sure.
Yeah, it didn't really seem like there was a real conversation going on. I mean, I think both people, you know, I think both Affleck as well as Harris and Maher have, you know, important things that they feel about this and they want to communicate them. But the way I saw the conversation going was like, you guys aren't really hearing what the other person's even saying because you're so invested in your position as being the right position that that's all you're going to say.
Right. And so, yeah, I mean, I you might have noticed I wrote an article for Christianity Today's Leadership Journal last month on Sam Harris.
Yes.
And kind of processing some of this stuff. I find that you said that people in America really are not educated on the topic, and that's true. I think there's a lot of ignorance around Islam, but even those that are quote unquote educated, like, you know, they can name the five pillars, they can name the three holy cities, they can talk about Muhammad, they can define the difference between Sunni and Shia and Sufism or whatever, you know, they have that ability, you know, from an academic standpoint or from a book reading standpoint. That's not really an understanding of Islam. That's an understanding of sort of an idealized version of Islam or a religious version of Islam, as opposed to like the reality of Islam around the world, which is far more similar to the reality of Christianity around the world, where you've got, you know, a thousand different ways of thinking about the faith, a thousand different ways of practicing the faith. The reality is the vast number of, now, I mean, I've actually lived in the Islamic world, like large chunks of my life. I lived just in, with a Muslim family for 2 years. And the vast majority of Muslims that I've been around in many spots around the world, they're like your average American Christian. They hardly ever go to mosque. They hardly ever read their Quran. They're just jack Muslims. And they, if you ask them, absolutely, I'm a Muslim. Do you love Allah? Absolutely. Do you follow Muhammad? Absolutely. Do you love the Quran? Absolutely. What does that look like day in and day out? How much are they giving alms? How much are they visiting their religious leaders? Not really that much. You know, it comes up at ceremonies. They talk about it on holy days. They might practice fasting, you know, and that's, it is not that complicated. And yet I find often, and Bill Maher and others will do this, they'll want to talk about that it's just an extremist religion. And I'm like, no, it's not. There's this great episode of The West Wing that they did right after some terrorism was happening. And they were talking, a bunch of the people, characters on The West Wing, were talking to these high school students. And they put up on the board, high school students who are studying for their SATs, they put up, Muslim extremism is to Islam what X is to Christianity. Muslim extremism is to Islam what X blank is to Christianity. Right? Did you ever see this episode? So yeah, so the kids are, you know, they're guessing. They're like, is it fundamentalism? No. Is it extreme right? No. Is it, you know, and they're naming these different things. And the thing that they put on the line was KKK. The Ku Klux Klan is the equivalent of Muslim extremism, or white supremacists are the equivalent to Muslim extremists. How many of us who are Christians would go, yeah, the KKK defines my faith, or the KKK is an accurate representation of what Christianity is, or when people around the world are talking about Christianity, I really hope that they use skinheads as their example and paint us all with that brush. That would be really helpful to me. You know, and it's not, it's just not true. So in my experience, it's not true. And again, I'm talking about my experience with actual Muslims.
Right.
In actual Muslim countries.
Yep.
You know, so.
Well, that was why I wanted to get your take on this, because I know that you have lived in that exact environment, and I think it's really important to hear from someone who has versus just people who are kind of, you know, making their points and, you know, whatever agendas or whatever is going on there.
Wes, would you recommend that people go and look up that Affleck interview with Bill Maher and Sam Harris? Would you recommend they look at it just to sign to kind of educate themselves that way? Would that be a good thing for them to watch?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a pretty fascinating thing, and at least for me, it's very evident that they're just talking past each other.
Okay. Good.
But yeah, maybe we'll even put a link if I can find a clip of it on YouTube or something. We'll put a link on the website.
Yeah. I'm going to go look it up after the podcast is done.
All right. Adventure number two. We have the image that people maintain of God or the afterlife.
All right. I'm going to go with the afterlife for 400.
All right. The afterlife. So this adventure was inspired by the new book Aloof.
Oh, fantastic. I love that topic.
Yeah. So chapter two is called First Contact. And in this chapter, you describe your grandmother and your experience kind of with her, and then an experience that you had with God as a young child.
Yes. Yes.
And you kind of talk about how you were with your dog. No, it was your grandma's dog, I think, right?
Yep. Bud.
And how it was a profound experience for you.
Yep.
But then later, a kind of a well-meaning Sunday school teacher was asking you about it and sort of implied that you did it wrong.
Yeah.
And that caused you a lot of distress, which ultimately kind of ended with this, you know, question, am I going to hell because I did this wrong?
Right.
And I was just, it just broke my heart that a young child would be thinking they were going to go to hell. Like that any child would ever think that, ever, for any reason whatsoever, makes me just nauseous.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, again, I totally agree, and you made the point in the book that, you know, your teacher totally was not trying to cause that kind of distress on you or anything. But the question remains, you had that thought. And so my purpose with this adventure is, you know, why would that even be your thought process at all? Just because you didn't do something right. What does that say about, I mean, it says something, so I was like, explore what is up with that.
So what was it about me that had space or that would even draw the conclusion that having done something religiously wrong would lead to me going to hell? Is that the question?
Yes, that you and I'm assuming your understanding was hell would be eternally being tortured forever.
Sure. I don't know if I had a lot of descriptors for it. Certainly, I mean,
it wasn't one good.
It was really bad. I mean, and you know, one of the major themes of my early years in church was the theme of heaven and hell. And you don't want to go to hell because it's a really bad place and the devil's there. It's a mean person. And you do want to go to heaven because God is there and God's wonderful, wonderful person. And heaven is love and streets of gold and Sandy Patty songs and, you know, lots of, you know, people standing around, like joining choirs is a big part of heaven. Good thing. Hell, I don't really know what you do in hell, but it's all pretty bad. So you don't want to go there. Yeah, so that, I mean, so kind of everything was framed. I think in some level, everything was framed by those two dichotomies. Am I good enough? Am I bad? Am I too bad? You know, those sorts of things. And specifically with the Sunday school teacher, I don't want to give away the whole story because it's one of the things that sets the book up. But, you know, there was a, how would I say it? A disapproving air to this one conversation. And I really think that the Sunday school teacher didn't realize what they were doing. But what it said was that little boy said, "Tony, you're bad. Tony, you did it wrong." And again, so much of that's on just my stage of development. Stage of development was, you know, there's only good and bad. There's only good, bad, good boy, bad boy. Right. There's only answer the test question right or wrong. There's no such thing as essay at that point. There's no such thing as nuance. There's, you know, it's either right or wrong. That's the only way that you can think. And it was very clear from the conversation I had done it wrong. And since it was the story of my salvation experience, my conversion experience, that I had done wrong, therefore I was wrong. There's no other way to go. And I think that's the framing of religion. You know, and it's very challenging. You know, I'm a father now with 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 7-year-old, and trying to try to usher them into a life of transformative, engaging, interactive, meaningful, meaning-filled space. Trying to usher them, to help guide them, to be their Sherpa into meaning-filled space. And how the heck do I do that when at their developmental age? And boy, I don't know. Unless I'll tell you the truth, none of my three boys have had a conversion experience. I mean, I had mine at age like 5. And, you know, it's like, it's clearly, I mean, there's a lot going on there. But part of it is a byproduct of how we have raised our family. And one thing it'd be great maybe for us to talk about on one of these is how Amy and I, my wife and I, think about church and how we're engaging church as a family. But my kids have not gone to a lot of church experiences, so they're not thinking conversion, you know. But we talk about God all the time, and you know, we've sat them down and talked to them about following Jesus. What does that mean? But yeah, I'm rambling at this point. But am I hidden anywhere near the heart of what you were hoping I would talk about?
Yeah. No, totally appreciate that, and. You know, I have kids too, and yeah, haven't done much church, and you know, I think for me, just the whole idea of hell is just, you know, particularly eternally being tortured thing, isn't something that I ever want my children to think is going to happen to them.
Hmm.
You know, that just really troubles me, and I know that that's a big. It's a big question. It's a big topic. But, you know, these are the topics that swirl around in my brain.
Yeah, the eternally being tortured thing, I really think that's the byproduct of Dante a whole lot more than it's a byproduct of the Bible.
Yeah.
So I would like to just remove that entire metaphor from the conversation. But, I mean, I can remember the moment. I can remember the moment. I can remember what it looked like, smell like, when my Uncle Jim sat with me and he said, "Tony," and he was probably 20 at the time, early 20s, maybe late teens. And he said, "Do you know what hell is like?" And I said, "No." And he pointed into the fireplace and he says, "It's like that. It's like being in a fire all the time, burning you all the time. That's what hell is like." And I mean, it seared me. I can remember, I mean, literally, I can tell, I could take you to the fireplace and show you where he was sitting when he said it, where I was sitting when he said it. Like, oh my goodness, I don't want that. That's very scary.
Yeah. But what your uncle told you is basically, I mean, that's what people think it is.
Yep.
Like, you know, that is the metaphor. That is what people think, and that's what gets preached, and that's what, I mean, it's horrible. It's not good, and it just really troubles me You know, because I have good friends who still think that that is, you know, that's the threat. I personally think that that's way outside of what love means. And so, yeah, that's just a big one that really troubles me.
You know, maybe just a closing thought on this talk would be on a more positive or encouraging side.
Yep.
Is for us, the family, Advent is actually the high point of our church calendar. It's as a family of faith. We really love Advent. We do a service, a celebration every night of the Advent season together. We sit and we read and we sing and we light candles. And anyway, it's just been really life-giving to us as we sort of raise our children in faith and as we develop spiritually as a family. And I just wrote an article for Leadership Journal on the topic of just what does it mean to celebrate Advent and some practical ideas for how to celebrate Advent. And so that might be something people want to go check out.
Yeah, for sure. I actually saw that and I'm planning to read it. I haven't had a chance to read it, but I can put a link to that up on the website as well.
Oh, that'd be great.
Cool. All right, everybody. Thanks again for joining us on the Choose Your Own Adventure podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to leave comments, questions, or submit topic suggestions, please go to cyoapodcast.wordpress.com.